My name is Bin, and I'm the pastor at Sunlight Church. It is great to have you here. We have been studying through the book of Galatians together, and we are now up to chapter, could someone tell me? Five, thank you, which is the second last chapter of the book, which means this is the second last sermon of the series. All right, did you know that we started this series back in mid-September? So we've been going through this wonderful letter that God has inspired, you know, Paul to write to these early Christians in Galatia. So this morning, I'm going to do my best to unpack verses 1 to 26. I titled the sermon, Our Freedom, and keeping with tradition, all right, there are 3 points to my sermon, all right. So the 3 points are freedom for sons, and in brackets, daughters, of course, sons and daughters. 2, freedom to serve. And 3, freedom by the Spirit. They're the 3 points to my sermon. I'm going to pray and we'll get straight to work. All right? Let me pray. Father God, I do pray now that you will help me to do my best to expound your word, that you would also open our ears and our hearts to receive your word. And God, whatever it is that you have to say to us, may you challenge us. May you help us to conform to the likeness of your Son. Thank you for the freedom that we have in you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you have your Bible, you can turn to chapter 5. Otherwise, the verses are on the screen behind me. You know, Paul opens up this chapter to remind the Galatians that there is such freedom that we have in Jesus. Freedom. If you belong to Jesus, there is freedom for you and I. Freedom for sons. Freedom for daughters. We don't see this in the English text, right? But you have to trust me here. But in the Greek text, he starts off with the definite article, which is the. The definite article is very important in the Greek. The God, which means the Creator God, not any other gods. The Spirit. So every time the author, biblical author, starts a paragraph with the something, there is such emphasis and significance to what he's saying. And in the Greek text, he starts off with the freedom. The freedom that we have in Jesus. We don't see that in the English text, but in the Greek text, there's such emphasis on this freedom that we have in Christ. Freedom reserved for sons and daughters of the Most High. If you have your Bible, look with me in verses 1. Here we go. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm, then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. When you read the Bible, every time you read a passage on the salvation that God gives to us, depending on the situation, depending on the author, depending on the influence of the Spirit, you would notice there's a different significance. For example, one author might say, well, in salvation, there is justification. Another author might say, in salvation, there is forgiveness. Or in salvation, there is the dwelling of God's Holy Spirit. But in this particular instance, in Galatians chapter 5, the emphasis is that in God's salvation, there's freedom. Paul wants to stress the fact that there is such freedom for those who are sons and daughters of God. We're no longer slave, which means there's no fear. It is true that once we were slave to Satan, slave to sin, but today, if you are a son, if you're a daughter of God, there is such freedom. Freedom to live. Freedom to try things, freedom to make mistakes. It is great that we have this freedom. There's a funny story that I read of a little 12-year-old boy who accidentally killed one of the pet ducks in his family. He threw some stones at the duck and that duck died. Now, the family had 24 ducks. And he thought that, well, you know what? If I just buried that dead duck, mom and dad would notice. I mean, there's 23 left. They would not notice. But however, his younger sister saw him with that horrible crime. So she said to him, I saw what you did. And if you don't wash the dishes, I will tell Mum. I mean, the boy washed dishes for days and days upon days. And one day, he said to his sister, "You wash the dishes. I'm not doing any more." And she said, "Well, I'll tell Mum then." And he replied, "I've already told her, and she forgave me, and now I'm free again. I am free again." You know, I tell her that because sometimes we have to be reminded that we are free. That there is no sin, no shame, no shackles holding us. We have been set free. God has released us. Because there'll be those days where you hear those voices, "Oh, you better not do that. I'll bring back up the past." Stop those voices. "Oh, you better not help out at church. Remember the last time you served in that ministry? Or you better not come to Sunday worship. Remember what you did last night." You hear these voices and you need to be reminded there is no sin, there's no shame, there's no Satan, there's no shackle holding you, because in Christ you are free. Free to serve, free to love, free to attend worship, free to try things, free to make mistakes, because the blood of Jesus Christ has set you free. That's the good news. We have been set free. Paul would say this, "Then stand firm. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery." See what he's doing? Stand firm. Be reminded that you've been set free. Don't go back to the old ways where there's some form of slavery to sin. And what Paul does now is in the next 10 verses, he reminds them all the wrong teachings from these wrong teachers. He begins to unpack to the Galatians why these wrong teachers are completely wrong with their false teaching. Because if you remember, if you've been following through the series, that these teachers came in and started to say things like, "Well, if you really want to be free, you've got to do this. Yeah? You've got to keep up with the ceremonial laws. You've got to be circumcised. You've got to eat certain food. And if you do all that, then you will really be set free." And what Paul does is that he begins to dismantle them. Look with me in verses 2 to 4. "Mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace." See what Paul is doing? He is saying that all these Jewish laws, if you keep them, if you add them to the gospel, Christ means nothing to you. There is no value in what Christ has done on the cross. What's the point of the cross? The cross was to display God's perfect grace in saving you and I. As soon as you add something to that, you're really saying that the cross wasn't that good after all. What you're really saying is that what Christ did is of no value. In fact, he would say in verse 4 that you have fallen away from grace. Many people take this particular verse and say, "Well, that's how you lose your salvation." No, that's not what Paul is saying right here. What Paul is saying right here is if you begin to add anything to the gospel, you've fallen away from the understanding or the doctrine of grace, that you don't completely understand what God has done for you on that cross. He's beginning to dismantle the teaching of this false teacher. In verses 7 to 10, he would say, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty." You see what he's doing right there? He's saying, whoever is throwing you into confusion, whoever is persuading you, did not come from me, did not come from the apostle, did not come from, you know, the Jerusalem apostle. That's James and Peter and John. He would say that this small group of teacher, they're a hindrance to this thing that you're doing, which is the life. Because you know when you read the Bible, the Christian life is like a race. It's a marathon. You start the race at conversion, and you end the race when you meet him face to face. And what Paul is saying is that during that journey of called life or that race, there'll be people who will come in, and they're not from God. They're going to persuade you and confuse you, and they're going to slow you down. And these people clearly have slowed down the early Christian. And what does he do? He quotes a proverb. He says, a little yeast works through this entire batch of dough. He's saying a small group of false teachers have come in, and what they've done, they've spread throughout the entire congregation, and now we need to sort them out. In fact, the other time that Paul would use this parable is in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where he talks about their boasting is of no good. Right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he quotes the Proverbs and he says that, well, get rid of that yeast. Start the batch again. It's a stern warning to these teachers. We want to get rid of you. You should not be in this church. You're causing confusion. You're persuading these Christians. You're hindering them. And you notice the warning in verse 10. You will have to pay the penalty. You see that? He's dismantling these false teachers. You guys have come in. You've caused confusion. You've added to the gospel. You need to be taken out. And you're going to pay the penalty. These false teachers have taken the Christians back to square one. But now, if they're not careful, they're in this yoke of slavery again. And Paul says, stop it. You're free. Because when you're a son, when you're a daughter, you're free in Christ. Don't need to do anything else to receive that freedom. Christ has done it all on the cross. Live in that freedom. Freedom to be a son. Freedom to be a daughter. No excuse to live a life of freedom. That's what he's saying. As soon as you hear these voices, oh, you can't do that because of what happened last time you did it, there's freedom from that. Oh, you're a sinful person. You should not be coming to this church service. You better sort yourself first before you come here. That's all the yoke of slavery. You're free from that. And I hear those voices all the time. Ben, you're not good enough to lead a church. You're not a perfect guy. You can't stand in front of here and preach the word of God when you're not practicing it yourself. Quit. Quit. I hear that all the time. There's not a day in the week or the month where I say, God, I can't do this. I want to throw in the white towel and I say, God, I can't do this anymore. But I'm reminded that I'm set free. That there's no sin. There's no shame. There's no shackle holding me down. I don't want to keep doing this. And that's for you as well. If you are sons, if you are daughters, there's freedom. Now, freedom to do what? I'm glad you asked. Point two, freedom to serve. You have freedom, but now freedom to serve. Look in verse 13 and 15. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. There is freedom. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. You notice what he does in verse 13? He talks about the flesh, the sark in the Greek, the flesh. It's the sinful nature. It's the old you before you met Christ. The old you. The you who loved to lie. The old you who loved to cheat, who loved to hate, who loved to gossip, who loved to self-promote. I could go on and on and on. He would say that, do not use your freedom to indulge in the old you. In other words, don't use your freedom to feed the old you. Starve the old you. Crucify the old you. But use your freedom to what? Humbly serve one another in love. That is great. I am free. You are free because we are sons and daughters of God. But the Bible teaches us that Christian freedom is not freedom to sin, but freedom to serve. You have been set free now to serve one another. It's not me. That's what the Bible's saying. I'm not plugging you guys to serve and volunteer at Sun Life Church. The Bible is saying that in your freedom, serve one another in love. I love what he says right here. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Where have we heard that before? In the gospel, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes and teachers would say, well, Jesus, out of all the 618 laws in the Old Testament, which one is the greatest? Remember? What does Jesus say? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Is that right? Soul and mind. And then what's the other one? Love your neighbor as yourself. You cannot serve anyone unless you love them. Are you with me? If there's no genuine love for the person next to you, forget about serving them. But when you genuinely love them, oh, that serving just naturally flows out. That you just want to serve them. And Paul would say here is because we have been set free from any past, from the sin, we are now free to serve. Are you with me? We are free from sin and not free to sin. Are you with me? In our freedom, we are not free to feed the cravings of the flesh, which is to sin, but in our freedom, we are to serve one another in love. There's a story of a young American just during the Civil War in America, just before the time where slaves were set free. This young man went into the auction to buy himself a young slave girl. And he wins, he outbids everyone, and he wins this young slave girl, and he's walking her out of the auction. And as they're walking out, he turns to her and says, well, you know, you are now free. And she would say, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm now free? I'm free to do whatever I want? He goes, yep, free to do whatever you want. What you mean I'm free to say whatever I want to say? Yep, say whatever you want to say. I'm free to be whoever I want to be? That's right, ma'am. Free to be whoever you want to be. You mean free right now to go wherever I want to go? He goes, yep, free to go wherever you want to go. And she said, well, that's the case. I will go where you go. Friends, this is the thing with God's grace. That when we have been set free by the grace of God, we find ourselves wanting to go where God wants us to go. We find ourselves doing the things that God wants us to do. Are you with me? We find ourselves being the person that God wants us to be. To live as the new creation that God wants us to be. We find ourselves doing the things that God wants us to do. We find ourselves being loyal to God. That in our freedom, we find ourselves loving God more, serving God more, loving the people around us more, and serving the people around us more. Do you agree with me? There's this internal transformation that takes place. That in our freedom, we notice that we become more like Christ. We go where He goes. We do what He does. And we be like Him to the people around us. I mean, in the gospel, in Mark 10:45, what does the Bible say? That even He, right? This is the Son of Man did not come to what? To be served, but to what? Serve. And to give up His life as a ransom for many. Amen? And if our Christ, our Lord, came to serve you and I, in our freedom, may we serve one another. Let's not be like those Christian ninjas, the one who sneaks in during the sermon just to hear the sermon and then slides out before the last song. Or the Lone Ranger Christian where you want to do things solo and you don't want anyone to be part of your world. Or what you call the obese Christian where it's about me feeding, feeding, feeding. I like the Word of God, I like the worship because it's all about me and you get basically obese, but you're not giving. Let's not be like those people. Let's be the person that God wants to be, that in our freedom we would serve. That you would say, God, I am so glad that I am set free by your grace and by the gospel, that in my freedom I'm running away from sin, but I'm going to run towards serving. Amen? I want to serve you. I want to serve the people around me. And I don't know. I don't know, friends. Let me be honest with you. This is not a perfect church. I'll be honest with you. I'm not a perfect pastor. There are a lot of gaps and holes in this church here, and there are ups and downs in the ministry. My hair is gray. You don't see it. I work really hard to stand on a certain angle where you can't see the gray. I stress out. I wake up a lot because I'm going, what's going to happen here? Have I got the right person here? Oh, we need people here. I get an email from my head of ministry saying, Pastor, we need more help here. You know, it's hard. It's not a perfect church. But we need to improve in the area of loving each other. We need to improve in the area of serving one another. We need to improve in the area of saying, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. I don't care about my past. I don't care that I made a mistake doing that in the previous church or I was told off, whatever. I'm just going to do it because, you know what, I'm free. I'm free from my sin. I'm free from my shame. I'm free from the past. And He has now allowed me to be free to serve. And maybe that is you. Maybe God is speaking to you this morning. Maybe it's time to give your leader a call, shoot me an email, say, Pastor, 2017 is a year that I want to serve you. I don't want to be the Christian ninja that slides in and sneaks out before the end of the service and don't want to say goodbye to the welcome team. I don't want to be that lone ranger or the obese, Christian who just receives and don't want to give out. Maybe 2017 is going to be a new year for you. Here's a wonderful quote from John Wesley. One of the principal rules of religion is to lose no occasion of serving God. And since He is invisible to our eyes, we are to serve Him in our neighbor, which He receives as if done to Himself in person, standing visibly before us. As we serve our neighbor, we serve Him. Amen? So, that's my second point. In our freedom, we have freedom to serve. Now, my final point, let's get honest and let's be honest here. Let's just be real here. That there is going to be those days when you just don't want to serve. And those days where you just can't be bothered. Those days where you just don't want to love the person next to you. Is that right? Those days where you say, well, I've had such a bad experience serving in my previous church and I'm at Sun Life Church here. I don't want to go down that path again, so I'm not want to serve at all. Or there are those days where you go, well, I know I'm free from sin, but I like to sin because sin is fun. And I know God's grace is so good that He forgives me, so I'm going to sin. Let's be honest. There'll be those days. And what Paul does now is he helps us to overcome those days in the last part of chapter 5. Freedom by the Spirit. In other words, freedom by the power of the Spirit. Read with me. In 16 to 18. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. What is Paul doing right here? You notice? He's encouraging them to walk by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. Otherwise, if you're not careful, you end up feeding the cravings of the flesh. You see? And the flesh is dangerous. Because the flesh is all about me. In my freedom, I want to serve moi. I want to serve myself. Because the flesh is all about me as being my own God. I'm my Lord. I'm my Savior. I don't need a Jesus. I make my decision when I want to make my decision. I spend my finances the way I want to spend my finances because that's the flesh. And what Paul is saying right here is the flesh is dangerous. Look with me in verse 19 and 22. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. I can go on. Jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, etc., etc. Drunkenness. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's scary. That's the flesh. It's all about me. But look what he does. When he reminds us if we are empowered by the Spirit. Look now in verse 22 to 25. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Can you see that? Gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let me tell you why there's such hope when we are in Christ. Let me tell you why that when we live with the Spirit of God in us, we ultimately overcome those moments where we can't be bothered. In that text, look carefully. There are three things. So there are three sub-points of my three-point sermon, right? I've never done that before. I hope I don't confuse you, right? Because we belong to Christ, that's one. You see that? Our old self has been crucified, that's two. And now we live by the Spirit, that's three. Those three things help us overcome those moments when we can't be bothered. Let me explain. When we belong to Christ, He is all ours and we're all His. Are you with me? He will never leave us. Yeah? He will never let us go. I will teach you the doctrine of perseverance of the saints because I believe that when God saves you, He'll never let you go. That's what I believe. That God will keep me safe to the very end because if I belong to Jesus and I'm all His and He's all mine, He's going to keep me there. And whatever happened to Christ has also happened to me. Because if I am in Him and I belong to Him, and if He's been crucified, so have I. So if the old self has been crucified by Christ, I know that I live in the new self. Are you with me? Romans 6:6. Go with me to Romans 6:6. We know that our old self was crucified with Him, that's Jesus, in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. Can you see that? The Bible tells me that my old sinful passion, the desires of the flesh, have been crucified. Yes, there'll be moments when I'm tempted. Yes, there'll be moments where sin is so enticing and it's going to lure me, and there'll be moments when I fail. But you know what? Listen carefully. When I fail, when I commit those sins, I'm still His and He's still mine. And He's going to keep me safe and He's going to protect me. And that's not going to stop me from keep loving Him and keep trying. I'm not called to be perfect. I can't be perfect. Sanctification is not perfection. Glorification is perfection. So as long as I'm still breathing, if there's still a heartbeat, I will mess up. But that's okay. I'm still His. And my old has been crucified. So when I do mess up, somehow He wins and He's going to take me back. You also notice that if you belong to Christ, you also have the Spirit of Christ, because the Spirit of God lives in you. Look in Romans 8, 9 to 10. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see that? The Spirit of Christ lives in me. God's Spirit is in me. God empowers me. God will enable me to live my freedom to bring glory to Him. It's all God. So moments where I want to give up, moments when it's just too hard, I'm so glad that His Spirit is in me. I don't know if you believe that or not, but God's Spirit is not some force or some, you know, power. God's Spirit is God in the person who enables us and empowers us to live for His glory. That in my freedom, I can still bring glory to God despite those moments where I want to give up. There is power by the Spirit of God. Power to overcome sin. Power to resist temptation. Power to live in the newness of life because the Spirit of Christ is in me. I belong to Him. He belongs to me. My old has been crucified, and today the Spirit lives in me. And because of that, the freedom that I have is in the power of the Spirit. So I'm going to keep living for Him. That's great news, that God did not save us and He left us alone. You with me? The Bible tells us He sent His helper, His comforter, to enable and empower us to live in our freedom to bring glory to Him. That is wonderful. But there's a but. There's always a but. Does it mean then, Pastor Bin, that if that's the case, I'm just going to relax? You know, Pastor Bin, if God is doing everything and He's going to empower me and enable me, I don't have to worry? No. Look carefully in verse 16 and verse 25. Walk in the Spirit. 25, let us also keep step with the Spirit. You see that? Walking, keeping step. We all know what walking is. Keeping step is a military language where Paul would say, as the army of God, be in a row. Make sure you're focused. You know, walking. We do that. Is that right? You walk from your house to your car. You drive your car to work, and you walk from the car park to the office. You might walk around the office to the tea room to get a break. If you're a university student, you walk around the campus. Walking is a continuous action that takes place daily. In those days when the letter was written, the philosophers, the sophists, we call them, we could tell them in society, because they would walk, and behind them, their pupil, their students would follow them. So you would see a particular teacher in the marketplace, and you see a group of people walking behind them. Wherever the teacher went, the students follow them. They walked after them. And Paul is using that imagery to say that where God is going, you go. Are you with me? What he's saying is that we have to learn to walk with God, follow God daily, led by the Spirit of God daily, follow our great teacher, Jesus Christ, daily. We must learn to listen to His voice daily, read His word daily, follow His guidance daily, be in communication with Him daily. It has to be a continuous daily action. And when you do that, there's power. Power to overcome those moments where you say, I can't be bothered serving. I can't be bothered loving. Let me say, when you're walking in the Spirit of God, following Him daily, oh wow, there's power. What did Jesus say in the gospel? Take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. What is he saying there? He says, die your old self, crucify your old self, and then walk, follow me. We need to do that, Sun Life Church. I don't know how it works. I'm not a great theologian, but when I read the Bible, I see the sovereignty of God in His grace in all things, but I see the responsibility of man. You see that? God is sovereign, He is divine, He's in control, but human responsibility is there as well. And somehow those two things come together in Scripture. God does His part, but He's sovereign. We do our part, we're responsible, but it all comes together. That's the first thing I'll ask God when I see Him one day in heaven. God, explain me your sovereignty and human responsibility. And I see it right here, that God is sovereign, but God wants us to be responsible in walking in His Spirit daily. And when you do that, guys, let me say it. When you do that, oh, wow, there's power. In my freedom, there is power not to sin, but power to serve, to love, because the Spirit of God is in me. Amen? Keep close to God. And when that happens, wow, let me say, your life will be flavored with this love, joy, peace, forgiveness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and yes, even self-control, that you can drive at 60 k's an hour. Keep close to God. Amen. Let me read you one last quote from our great teacher before we conclude. In John 15, Jesus says this, remain in me. In other words, keep close to me. Walk with me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear much fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Amen. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. Amen. And if you want to serve, if we want to be a community where we impact the city of Perth, if we want to be the church that God wants us to be, oh, wow, if we want to exercise our freedom for God's glory and run away from sin and run towards serving, may we remain in Him. May we walk close to Him. May the power of His Spirit empower us to serve Him. Amen. Let me pray. Father God, I thank You that there is such freedom in You. I thank You, God, that you're a great God. I thank you that there's freedom for sons, freedom for daughters, freedom to serve, freedom by the power of your Spirit. God, will you empower us, Lord? May we all walk close to you. May we follow your lead daily. May you empower us by your Spirit to serve you and serve the people at Sun Life Church and beyond. May we never be the Christian that slide in and sneak out. May we get really raw and real and get into the connect groups, getting to know one another. Oh, will you do that work? Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.